हरे कृष्ण। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम कैंटो 5th चैप्टर 10 महाराज रहुगण मीट्स जड़ भरत टेक्स्ट 22nd। स्थाल्यग्नितापत् पयसो अभितापस् तत्तापतस्तण्डुलगर्भरन्धि देहेन्द्रियाश्वाशयसन्निकर्षात् तत्संश्रुतिपुरुषस्यानुरोधात्। And purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. King Rahugana continued, "My dear sir, you have said that designations like bodily fatness and thinness are not characteristics of the soul. That is incorrect, because designations like pain and pleasure are certainly felt by the soul. You may put a pot of milk and rice within fire, and the milk and rice are automatically heated one after the other. Similarly, due to bodily pains and pleasures, the senses, mind and soul are affected. The soul cannot be completely detached from this conditioning." Purport. This argument put forward by Maharaj Rahugun is correct from the practical point of view, but it arises from an attachment to the bodily conception. It can be said that a person sitting in his car is certainly different from his car, but if there is damage to the car, the owner of the car, being overly attached to the car, feels pain. Actually, the damage done to the car has nothing to do with the car's proprietor. But because the proprietor has identified himself with the interest of the car, he feels pleasure and pain connected with it. This conditional state can be avoided if attachment is withdrawn from the car. Then the proprietor would not feel pleasure or pain if the car is damaged or whatever. Similarly, the soul has nothing to do with the body and the senses, but due to ignorance, he identifies himself with the body and he feels pleasure and pain due to bodily pleasure and pain. So, in this verse, we can see that King Rahugana, who was also a very intelligent king, and he was quite submissive to Jada Bharat, because we can see that when he was sitting in that palki and Jada Bharat was carrying along with other carriers, he was trying to avoid stepping on the ants, and because of there were jerks, and king sitting in the palki started chastising these carriers. So it is said that Jada Bharat, who was a self-realized person right from beginning of his birth, he was behaving like a fool person, deaf and dumb, he started speaking and he started speaking such high philosophy. That time, this king, he was hearing from within. He was sitting in Palki and he hearing the words. And the words were entering into his ears. And it is said that this king was also inclined for philosophical discussions. He did not say that you are a servant and you have to accept my order. Generally in the material world we can see that if some junior person starts saying something, giving an advice, then one feels a great insult. He thinks that who is he to advise me? And even if he is correct, one is not in a position to hear any advice. But here we can see that this king, he heard from Jadabharat and he could understand that these are not the ordinary words he is speaking. The knowledge he is speaking is not an ordinary. He has got a great realized knowledge. And Jadabharat was speaking from the spirit soul point of view. How the spirit soul is unaffected by happiness, distress, pleasure, pain. And how the spirit soul is completely aloof from different material activities. We get so much entangled with this bodily conception of life. Because this conditioning is there since time immemorial. So it is very obvious that one becomes conditioned in this body. If one is born in India, he thinks that he is Indian and I have to do everything related with my country or a particular religion. So many ways one gets entangled. And there are so many people, they profess that how you should be in this consciousness, sometimes in the nationality consciousness or some kind of religion consciousness. But when someone understands that he is not this material body, he is spirit soul, completely aloof from different bodily designations, then he can transcend this material world. And here we can see that the king was also giving a very intelligent argument. He's saying that, my dear sir, you have said that designations like bodily fatness and thinness are not characteristics of the soul. This is incorrect because designations like pain and pleasure are certainly felt by the soul. You may put a pot of milk and rice within the fire, and the milk and rice are automatically heated one after the other. Similarly, due to bodily pains and pleasures, the senses, mind and soul are affected. The soul cannot be completely detached from this condition. So he is giving one example. He is saying that if you put a pot of milk and rice within the fire, then because of the heat, the milk and fire are automatically heated. So he is explaining that if there is any pleasure or pain to this material body, then the mind is affected. And he is saying that even the soul is affected. We can say in the material world there are a lot of psychosomatic problems arising because of this. And the body is distressed, somebody is suffering too much, then his mind is also not in a proper consciousness. And he was saying that even the soul is affected. So sometimes some people, they ask question that you say that the soul is never affected by any pleasure or pain. So if I pinch your body, who is suffering? This is a common argument in college students, they ask. Because we see that the soul is nainam chindanti shastrani, nainam dhati pavaka, na chainam pledantyap, na shoshati maruta. Soul is completely different, means his characteristics are completely different. He's not cut by any weapon, nor moistened by water. But still we feel bodily pleasure and pain. If we analyze from other point of view, that this mortal body is simply matter. So somebody pinches, so matter is impacting some force on another matter. So is there any going to be effect? There may be some deformation or change in matter. But does the matter feel any pleasure or pain? No, the matter has no feelings. So who is suffering? Who is receiving those pleasures and pain? So it is explained that because the spirit soul identifies with this mortal body, therefore he appears to be suffering or appears to be enjoying. Srila Prabhupada gives example many places, and a very famous example is that of dreaming. He explains that when somebody is dreaming, he forgets that he has this gross body. He is working on the subtle platform. His subtle body is active. And he forgets that he is staying in this home. He creates another body and he feels that, oh, I have to do these activities, or I have to go for exams, or a lot of things. He creates in his own mind. But when he wakes up, he realizes that, oh, that is not true. And then again he comes to the gross platform, again gross bodily platform. So Srila Prabhupada explains that this gross bodily platform is also another kind of dream. Because that was a night dream and this is a day dream. Day dream may last for long. So one may think that I have to do these activities, I am rich, I am poor, many designations he creates. But when he comes to the higher level, then he understands that I am completely aloof from gross and subtle worlds. That is the higher reality one has to understand. And therefore, both states, sometimes one may be active on the subtle level, subtle bodily level, that is in the day, in the dreaming, night dreaming. Or sometimes on the gross bodily level, that is in the daytime. But both are not real state. They are temporary phases. And who we are not this mortal body, we are spirit soul. That is our real identity. So therefore, the happiness on the mortal platform is not eternal. Or whatever happiness we try to derive from mortal body is not eternal, or it can't last for long. Because we are identifying with something temporary, we may find some temporary happiness, but again we start lamenting after losing that. Srila Prabhupada explains that we are eternal spirit souls. And spirit soul cannot be satisfied with temporary happiness. It can't be satisfied because it is eternal. how it can be satisfied with temporary happiness. The eternal soul can be satisfied only with eternal happiness. When it comes in contact with eternal things, then only he can find some pleasure. And who is supreme eternal? Lord Krishna. He is a supreme eternal being. When he comes in contact with Lord Krishna or his paraphernalia, his holy name, then he starts getting gleams of what is eternal happiness. So therefore, this is very, very important to understand that how we should maintain that consciousness, how we should not get affected by different bodily designations. Because all the time we get affected sometimes, although we may be chanting for so many years, but still so much conditioning is there, bodily conditioning, gross and subtle conditioning is there. But when we realize that we are not this material body, we are spirit soul. And what is this spirit soul? How it has got connection with the Supreme Lord? It is servant and servant of the Lord. 100 times servant. Then one can understand that yes, that is my real identity. Jivera Surupa hai, Krishnera Nitya Das. When he comes to that platform, then he can get some happiness, the real happiness. And these different designations have to be cleared. There is one story in Chaitanya Charitamrita, story of Subuddhi Rai. This Subuddhi Rai, it is explained that he was Zamindar in the beginning and he had one Muslim servant under him. One boy was working under him. So sometimes this boy would do some mischievous activities. So he had to punish him. And what happened in due course of time, that the designations of this mortal world do not remain eternally. Somehow or other, this Muslim boy became Nawab Hussain Shah. And when he became Nawab Hussain, that time his wife, she asked him, she saw there were some scars on his body. And she asked, what are these scars? So he said that in my childhood I used to work under this zamindar and sometimes used to punish me. So she became very angry. How he can punish you? He must be punished. You must give some punishment to that person. He said that, no, it's okay. He was like my father, elderly, and used to do all things for my improvement. But he said, no. She said, no, you have to punish him. You have to kill him. She was bent upon forcing him to kill him. But he said he was not agreeing. But then he agreed to just pollute his caste. He was Hindu. So he took some water from one Mlecha person and sprinkled on his body. And when he sprinkled on his body, that time it is said that this caste system was very strong. Someone is sprinkled by water from a Muslim person, they would lose the caste. So he lost the caste. He was not accepted as Hindus anymore. And Srila Prabhupada explains that in this way, the Muslim population increased. That day is to just pollute people. And Hindus were also very orthodox people, that they would not accept them again. And then it is said that he was also thinking of retiring from his family affairs and going to Vrindavan. So he took this as an excuse that it is good that I'll be ostracized. And he went to Varanasi and he met some Brahmanas there. And they told that you are now being polluted and only way of purification is that you have to drink hot ghee. If somebody eats drinks hot ghee, then he's sure to die. So, and some other said that there is no need of doing this, you do something else. Like that, things were going on. So finally, he met Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Varanasi when Lord had come. So he said that you go to Vrindavan and just chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This is the highest purificatory process. In Kali Yuga, all other methods are not useful. You simply chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And if when you become free from gross and subtle identities, then you'll be completely purified. So he went to Vrindavan and was chanting and he became completely purified because of chanting. And he used to bring some wood from forest and he would sell. And whatever he would collect, he would serve the Vaishnavas. Devotees from Bengal would come to Vrindavan. And Bengali devotees, they're used to eating rice. They're not used to eating chapatis. And in Vrindavan, you get chapatis or rotis. So when they would eat those heavy things, then their stomach would be upset. So he would nicely prepare some rice and salt and things and massage them. So in this way, he did some Vaishnava seva. And he was chanting the holy name and he got purified. Simple. So, here it is explained that how means when somebody becomes aloof from these bodily identities, Hindu, Muslim, Indian, Indian, American, lot of bodily identities are there, and establishes himself in the supreme identity or the highest identity. That I am not this material body, I am spirit soul and I am the eternal servant of the Lord. Then all the problems will be solved. There are, in the material world, there are so many problems arising because of bodily conception of life. I am the controller, I am the master, or I am the proprietor of this land. This land belongs to me. And somebody intrudes on the land, then we are ready to fight. So many ways of this, this keeps on expanding. So when Shyamananda Prabhu was explaining that if there is a fight amongst brothers and somebody third party attacks, then they join, then they become one. If there is a fight between two towns and someone else comes to fight with them, then they become united. If there is a fight amongst two states and other country attacks, then they join. They forget that we are fighting for this small thing. And in this way it goes on. But he was saying that we are fighting in this material world or in this, like I am in India and America, and fighting is going on this one planet. But if the attack comes from other planet, then what happens? Then we have to become united. We have to unitedly fight with them. So these are temporary designation, bodily conception of life. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also defied this. There is another story. Sanatana Goswami, when he went to Jagannath Puri, so that time Sanatana Goswami was explained to be the personification of humility. He was quite humble. And while he was coming, drank some water, and there were sores on his body, and I was using pus and water. And whenever Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would see him, he would immediately embrace him. And Lord would not mind being contaminated or being touched by Sanatana Goswami because of his sores. But Sanatana Goswami was feeling very bad. He was thinking that, what is this? I came here to get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but I am offending. I am offending him because of my impurities. So Lord had invited him for Rath Yatra, and he told that you wait for Rath Yatra, and he was also waiting. But whenever Lord would see him, he would immediately embrace. So this was hurting to him. He was thinking that I had to do something. So he asked Jagadananda Pandit. So Jagadananda Pandit, he revealed his mind that, see, I came here to take the mercy of Lord, and here I am offending actually. So he said that, yes, it is true. What you can do, you can go to Vrindavan, and there you can chant, do your bhajan. So next day, Sanatana Goswami, he went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he was standing little far distance, and he offering pranam there. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again came near to him and again embraced him. He was feeling again ashamed. So that time, out of humility, he explained that when Lord called him, when Lord called Sanatana Goswami, he came from the side of ocean. He did not come from the side of the temple, Sinhadwar, of Lord Jagannath temple, because he was feeling that in front of Lord Jagannath's temple, the pujaris, they are always coming and going out. So if I happen to touch them, then they will become contaminated. And Srila Prabhupada also explains there that how important we should be, how important deity worship is, or how careful we should be in deity worship. That the pujari has to see that he doesn't get contaminated by other people, and others should be also careful that they also don't contaminate. So when Sanatana Goswami told Lord that I came from beach side, the ocean side, and because of that his feet were completely blistered. So Lord asked that, oh, you came from ocean side, beach side, and it was, the sand is so hot, how could you tolerate? And that time Sanatana Goswami explained this, and Lord was very pleased because of his humility, that he's observing such etiquettes, finer etiquettes. So that time Sanatana Goswami revealed to him that I have decided to go to Vrindavan because I don't want to offend you more. And Lord asked, who has given you this advice? So Sanatana Goswami told that Jagadananda Pandit has given me this advice. So Lord Chaitanya Prabhu became very angry. Oh, this Jaga. Lord was very angry. And he said that he's just a mere boy. And you are on the level of a spiritual master. And he is so impudent that he feels that he is qualified to instruct you. So Lord started chastising Jagadananda Pandit. So that time, Sanatana Goswami, he told Lord that I am feeling that Jagannath Pandit is very fortunate. And I am not so fortunate. Because he is getting the chastisement of yours. That is a special mercy, Sanatana Goswami was thinking. And I have to drink this bitter juice of Neem and Nishinta. That means you think that I am to be praised or I should be worshipped. You are giving me so much respect. That is in fact painful to me. But you are chastising Jagadanand Pandit. And one chastises someone only if he thinks that he is his own person. Then only out of love he chastises. So that time Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became a little ashamed. And then he said, no, it is not like that. You are actually so much worthy of respect. And you are on the level of spiritual master. So many times I have taken advice from you. And Sanatana Goswami in fact had given advice to him when Lord had come to Ramkeli. He was going with so many followers to Vrindavan. That time Sanatana Goswami had told that you don't go with so many followers to Vrindavan because there are so many Yavanas there and they will feel, they may attack you. And Lord had followed that time. So, Lord explained to him. And Lord told him that I do not see from the bodily point of view. You think that you are contaminating me. But I am sannyasi. I am situated on equal vision. And he then quoted this verse. Dvaite bhadra bhadratnya sabha manodharma ei bhala ei manda ei sabha pran. Lord explained that what is auspicious, what is inauspicious, what is good, what is bad. This is on the material platform. This is all Brahm, ei sabha Brahm. It's all illusion. What is reality? That we are not this material body. We are eternal spirit soul. That is the reality. And I am sannyasi, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saying, I don't see these material differences. That whether it is souls from your body, first oozing out of your body, or whether it is a sandalwood paste. It is all matter for me. So in this way, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was explaining how one has to see from the spirit point of view, spiritual point of view. One should not see from the material differences. And this is very instructive. Of course, then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave this Siddhanta. Achinta Bhedave Tattva. By which, by understanding which, everything becomes very clear. That we are simultaneously one and different with the Supreme Lord. And when we situate ourselves in that identity, then we will not, although there may be apparently some sufferings may be there on the bodily level, but when somebody absorbs himself into devotional service, he will forget those bodily sufferings. And many of you may be having experience that when you are doing some work, when you are engrossed, and if you are hurt somewhere, some finger is cut or some, so that time we don't realize that there is some cut. But after some time, when we start getting pain, it becomes more acute, then we start realizing that it is painful. And of course, in surgery also, when they give anesthesia, so that time also, the body is being cut or so many stitches are done. But that time one doesn't feel any pain because that anesthesia is given. But when that goes out, then one starts feeling the pain. So therefore, this pleasure and pain are on the bodily level. Matra sparsha sukauntiya shitoshna sukha dukkhada. Lord is explaining that this arises from sense perception and one must learn to tolerate. Then one can gradually come to the higher level. Today happens to be the appearance of Vakreshwar Pandit. And we'll just 5 minutes, I'll explain about Vakreshwar Pandit also. It is explained that Vakreshwar Pandit was Aniruddha incarnation. Gaur Ganesh Deepika explains that he was incarnation of Aniruddha. And he was one of the associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he would dance so wonderfully. It explained that when Lord would perform his kirtan, he would dance in ecstasy. And at one time, he danced continuously for 72 hours. You can imagine, 72 hours continuously, 3 days he was dancing. Of course, these are eternal associates of the Supreme Lord. They can do so. We can't imitate them. So, it is explained that when Devanand Pandit, he was a professional reciter of Srimad Bhagavatam, he used to recite Srimad Bhagavatam. And one time, Shivas Thakur, he happened to come to his Bhagavatam Pravachan. And when he heard about Lord Krishna's glories, he was in ecstasy and he fell unconscious. So that time, the followers or the disciples of Devanand Pandit, they thought that he is pretending or he is sahajiya, and then they threw him out. And it is explained that this was an offense actually, because Shivas Thakur was a great devotee of the Lord. So it is explained that when servant does some offense, the blame goes to the master. And in one sense, Devanand Pandit had offended him. So when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met him next time, he chastised Devanand Pandit that your followers or you didn't take care of him, Shivas Thakur, like that. But then later, it is explained that this Vakreshwar Pandit, he had come to the house of Devanand Pandit and he was staying as guest in his home. And although Devanand Pandit had some Mayavadi tinge of understanding, when Vakreshwar Pandit explained about the devotional purports, he understood that yes, how devotional service is the highest. And then he served him somewhere. And because of that, Devanand Pandit, later he received the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, today happens to the appearance of Vakreshwar Pandit. So, I will stop here now. If somebody has any question or comment.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Prabhuji, in your lecture towards the end, you were mentioning that during the surgery, and this is a slightly technical point, that during a surgery, a person becomes, unconscious and he doesn't feel, the pain is not felt. Now, again, when a person is under anesthesia like that, what is conscious, what is unconscious? That is one question, that what is, because the soul is still there in the body, but the body has become now numbed. So again, we are getting the impression that the body has got some existence separate from the soul. That's one. And second question is now related to the experience of happiness in the world. Like we all know, like we are always discussed philosophically, that the happiness of this world is temporary. We all know that. But so often we see that even the spiritual happiness that we get, whatever, you know, it is just glimpses. We get just fleeting, very, very fleeting experience of spiritual happiness. And it is even more rare than what material happiness we may get. And even more temporary. So how do we train our mind to latch on to that and not latch on to what material happiness we get?
The two questions. Maybe first question, Dwarkadishpur or Adhikeshwarpur can answer. Because they are doctors. They are experienced every day. Dwarkadishpur, would like to answer first?
Prabhupada explains that the symptom of life is consciousness. Something is living, we know it is conscious. So when we say somebody is unconscious during anesthesia, that means he is not dead. He is conscious still actually. Because heart is beating and organs are working and blood pressure is being maintained and everything is going on. Only these apparatus in the body which allows external manifestation of consciousness, which is the brain. The brain is an apparatus which actually allows you to manifest external consciousness. Only that brain has been made dull, numb. It's like you make something numb, it becomes insensitive. So because the sensation of pain is not coming forth because the whole brain has been dulled out. So you are cutting and chopping the organs, but brain is not perceiving because it has been made numb by chloroform and whatever, those agents. And consciousness is still very much there, intact. Therefore, devotees are, the cassettes go on during, in the operation theater sometimes. Harinam, and serious surgery is there. Devotees chant for you outside the operation theater because the consciousness is still being transferred. The spirit soul is wide awake, receiving. Only the external apparatus of the brain is temporarily for 3 to 4 hours sometimes knocked off. Hare Krishna.
Is that answer? Second question I can answer. So here we can see that as you are explaining that we get some gleams of what spiritual happiness is there. And we have to train ourselves into that. Because if we are not able to able to withstand, if Krishna is giving just maybe 0.1% or something, maybe less. If he gives 100%, we will not able to take up so much. So we have to train ourselves in spiritual life. Because all the time we get affected by temporary pleasures and pains. And when you are chanting and doing your spiritual practices, you absorb more self, then you gradually elevate. Then you get some gleams of what spiritual happiness is. And that is the eternal constitution of this soul. Here one sentence Srila Prabhupada writes, last sentence. The soul has nothing to do with the body and the senses, but due to ignorance he identifies himself with the body and he feels pleasure and pain due to bodily pleasure and pain. So in higher sense the soul has nothing to do with the body and sense. The soul is completely different from this body and senses. But we identify so much. Identification is so strong in this material world. Therefore, we suffer pain and pleasures. And when we practice chanting and services, then we get some glimpse. So that itself proves that this is the right method. This happiness when you derive from chanting or by doing some service, you cannot define it, or what is this happiness? You feel something different. That spiritual happiness is completely different. So that is the nature of this soul. That is the happiness the spirit soul is searching for. Srila Prabhupada explained that the eternal soul cannot be satisfied with temporary happiness. The eternal soul has to be satisfied with only eternal happiness. That is the thing. And how it will get eternal happiness? When it comes in contact with eternal things. Krishna's name, Krishna's service, these are eternal things. Bhakta, Bhagwan and Bhakti, these are eternal things. The devotee, Supreme Lord and the process, these are the eternal things that we have forgotten, therefore we are suffering. So therefore the whole process is to revive that consciousness. When we revive that consciousness, then we again realize that yes, I was unnecessarily suffering. Just like somebody in a dream state, he gets some very horrible dream, then he feels so much fearful, he's sweating and all that. As soon as he gets up, he forgets that, oh, it was a dream. So similarly, we are dreaming in this material world, and I am this material body and I have to do so many things. So therefore Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with this message, Jiva Jago, Jiva Jago. That when we really awaken ourselves, then our all problems will be solved. And when we practice this process, because our previous acharyas has given this process very scientifically. This is, they have explained what are the different stages one goes through. After chanting, in the beginning there may be offensive chanting. Then when he crosses that, then one comes to offenseless chanting. And then pure chanting. So it is like rising of the sun. When the sun, there is a night, everything appears dark. But when the sun is just rising, the sun has not risen, but just because of the light, darkness vanishes. So similarly, when we get a little glimpse of what we are chanting, the holy name, then a lot of problems will be solved. Chanting itself will give so much benefit, means, because there are different levels of chanting, as I was explaining. And when we get taste to the holy name, you know, the acharyas are explaining that I don't have the taste for the holy name. When we get a taste to chanting the holy name, then we'll see that yes, these are the eternal, this is the real happiness. So Srila Prabhupada used to say that what we will get after chanting, that will continue to chant. So that one stage, one can go higher and higher. One of disciples of Srila Prabhupada, he had Jai Shishi Radha Gopinath. They used to arrange some programs for Srila Prabhupada. So he had written one liner on the one flyer, stay high forever. So Srila Prabhupada liked it very much and added one more thing, and never come down. That you stay high forever and never come down. So that means this process elevates you gradually to the higher and higher platform. That is a struggle, means we have to continuously struggle to go on the higher and platform, never coming down. Hare Krishna. Any other question anyone has, or we'll stop here. Meetings are there. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Shila Prabhupada ki.